basically, I photoshopped him sending me an extremely horny message that like tied in with a lot of his previous replies.
Okay.
And then I posted that and it went viral and it low-key ruined his life.
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MFR.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determined once and for all what is good.
And what is bad.
Hello, and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Blair Payton.
And I'm Sterling Mulberry. In each episode of the podcast, a guest shares a morally questionable story from their life, and we decide if they were in the right or the wrong. Now, Blair, we have been, I want to say this, jet-setting, gallivanting, kind of bopping all over. I feel like I haven't seen you in a million years. And I just went to Sequoia National Park with my family, and something actually happened to me there.
Okay.
That I think I want to hear what you would have done in this scenario.
Sure.
Okay.
Hit me up.
I'm on a hike with my parents. Okay. And it's remote.
Already, I'm going to stop you right there. I wouldn't have done that, but continue. Of
course. Well, there's not really much else to do in the national park but hike, but you would have stayed at the Airbnb.
I would have stayed at the Airbnb, or I would have found a cute little cafe that also served alcohol.
Of course. A cafe that serves alcohol, also known as a bar. But yeah, exactly.
When you call it a cafe, it makes it cuter.
Of course.
Bar just seems a little scary. Manly.
Anyway, so we're on this hike.
Potato, potato.
We're on this hike, no one else around. Finally, this couple comes and they're looking really flustered. They pass us. They're like, oh, just a heads up. We just encountered a rattlesnake. My parents are like, rattlesnake, schmattlesnake. We literally encounter them all the time. I don't know. My parents are very chill with that. We keep going. We keep going. I'm making obviously noises. I'm clapping. I'm shouting so the rattlesnakes can hear. Anyways,
is this an effective way to keep them away, or are you just kind of guessing?
So they can hear, because like the big thing with snakes is like you really are really. I mean, not all snakes are getting bitten when they're surprised. So I'm like, we're coming, baby. You know when you're like scared of something? Like I've been so scared of these bears. Mm-hmm. I've been like, where are the bears? Where are the bears? Then on the last day, I'm like, let me see a damn bear.
Well, I think it's, you know, life is so short and you want to fill every moment with excitement and stories you can retell and share.
Yeah.
So I applaud you for going forward and just being like, you know, F what you say about this rattlesnake. I'm a strong woman and I'm going to take this on head first.
That's so funny, Blair. Can I just say really quick? I was watching. I'm a big Bravo girl now. I've gone in head first. And yesterday, I'm watching an episode of Summer House, my new favorite show. And this guy is like talking about how he's always like trying to like live life to the fullest and like really be a gratitude and like appreciate it. And he's like, you know, when I turned 30, I was just so grateful I was still alive at 30. He was like, I like went to a coffee shop and like got a croissant and like just started crying because I was just so grateful for life. He is a cancer survivor. Okay, so that's some context.
Okay, well that's a big part of it.
Anyways,
otherwise he just sounds crazy.
I'm like crying yesterday, being like, that is so true. I need to be amped for turning 30 and like taking in life. Anyways, you just saying that, I was like, and I had already forgotten. Like, you know what? I was like, I have to remember to be grateful. Obviously, forgot about it literally one second later, and now I'm being reminded by you again. Gratitude.
So literally, this is a sign. This is a sign that when you turn 30, you need to chase a bear. You need to hold a rattlesnake. You need to go to a cute cafe that also serves alcohol. Get a croissant and cry. Live it up.
Yeah.
Take 30 by the nuts.
Now, you just went international. Aruba.
Aruba was great. I went there for my friend's 40th birthday. And we mostly, we did sightseeing. We're not big beach people. The older I get, I'm just like, sand, ooh, gross. But give me a pool that looks at the beach, heaven. So that's what we did. We were actually at the pool one day. I will say this, exploring chain restaurants in another country is so much fun. So the first night we went to Taco Bell. And the second night we went to McDonald's. The third night we went to Wendy's.
Were you taking out or eating in?
Oh, you were taken out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I tell you, something about chain restaurants in different countries is so much better. And my friend was like, well, they have more restrictions.
Yeah, they have laws. Yeah, here they're like, you could say whatever this meat is. Mystery meat, that's fine with us.
Yeah, America's like, good luck.
Good luck.
Whereas Aruba was like, you know what? You're actually eating food. So it was great. The Diet Coke in Aruba.
Oh my God.
Could not recommend it more.
I was drinking so many Diet Cokes yesterday. It was kind of like going in my veins at that point. I needed to get a pep in my step because I went dancing for the first time. I went dancing for the first time in so long.
Can I ask, how were you dancing?
That's a good question. What do you mean? Like one of my moves?
Well, okay, right now I'm going to throw out a reference that you probably don't know.
Sure.
But have you ever seen the movie Showgirls with Elizabeth Berkley?
No.
Okay. There is a part before she lands it big on the Vegas Strip where her and her girlfriend go out dancing, and she is dancing like a chaotic monster on the dance floor. If you've seen it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm envisioning, is you in a red dress just flaring your arms thinking you're killing it. Is that accurate or no?
You know what? I wish that was accurate. I wish. But basically what happened is this. I went to an event prior and actually brought a big bag to the event. Okay. And I brought a purse that you can't put on your shoulder. And so I had to hold that, and I had to hold my jacket, which meant a whole arm was kind of holding things. So it's hard. It's really hard to get down on the dance floor when you kind of are holding luggage, basically. And I was wearing little heels. And it was also really late. And so actually, I was just kind of lightly going up and down.
Was this a part of the original plan, or was it something where you were out and you're like, let's go dancing?
No. It was maybe like talked about. We could have gone dancing, but what they actually had said is we actually might go in the hot tub. So actually, you know what was in my purse? A whole swimsuit. I was actually ready to go in a hot tub, which is a very different kind of plan.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing like going to the club with your bathing suit.
I think this falls on your friend's shoulder, because I think had you known you were going out for dancing, you would have dressed appropriately.
Literally,
tennis shoes.
So true.
Shorts.
So
a
true.
Tube top.
Yeah.
You know. Fanny pack, you would have been ready to tear up the dance floor.
Oh, and before I forget, we have another Phones Down show with my friend Kelsey Harper, where we have comedians come on and reveal the most embarrassing things on their phones.
Yeah.
The show is Wednesday, June 12th at 7:30 p.m. at Lyric Hyperion in Silver Lake. We have an amazing lineup on this show, Blair. We have Aparna Nancherla, Jenna Friedman, and Brian Bahi. So come on out. The tickets are in my Instagram bio. Well, Blair, truly, I am so thrilled to be having our guest on today. He is a friend of mine from LA. You know him, I feel like, from Twitter, aka X, aka whatever that has become. You know him from so many, many videos on Instagram and TikTok, as well as his stand-up in New York and LA. Please welcome our guest today, Prance. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Prance.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you're globetrotting. You were telling us before we started that you're in New York right now and you're on your way to Vegas. What's happening in Vegas?
So Vegas is like my very large group of friends. We sometimes go on these trips, but I've never been to Vegas and most of them haven't. So we're kind of like sort of for the adventure too, just to see what, you know, gambling is like. I hope I can ruin my life. You know.
Yeah, how much are you comfortable putting at stake of your fortune?
Comfortable, $20. But what is going to be necessary? Probably, I don't know. I think I'm $200, $300. I don't want to lose any more than that.
Here's a trick.
Yeah.
I hate gambling just because I'm cheap as hell. But what you can do is set at a slot machine, pretend like you're playing, and then you get free drinks.
Oh.
Wait, how does that work?
They're encouraging you to gamble and then like getting drunk and spending more and more. So you get free drinks. So that's a little tip. So do that.
That's interesting. I'm kind of scared of Vegas culture. I have never been, even though I feel like everyone in LA kind of goes to Vegas a lot.
Yeah.
But to me, Las Vegas is like a pool party with Diplo. And is that true?
I hope I get to meet all the white DJs.
Is there a DJ you want to meet the most?
I know four. So let's go. Maybe David Guetta. He had that like Black Lives Matter remix. That was terrible.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to him about that one.
What about Paris Hilton? She's DJing now and she's white.
I don't know who Paris Hilton is.
What?
I don't know. I feel like it's something I missed.
So it sounds like you don't support women. That's what I'm hearing.
No, well, I don't know. I know many other women, none of which you come to mind, but I do know of them.
Name all the women.
My mom.
You passed.
And thank you.
So you're not familiar with Paris Hilton.
It's got to be like Hilton Hotels. That's what I assumed, right? She just like owns them.
So yeah, she's kind of a hotel heiress.
Hotel heiress.
Paris Hilton's a big listener of the show.
Yeah, she's actually our number one fan. So this is really embarrassing. I'm so sorry, Paris.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, wait. So Prance, you're kind of in New York City.
Yes.
Are you kind of living there part time, or you kind of moved there, or are you just there on a whim.
I'm just here a lot, but I would not say I live here because I haven't dealt with any of the like typical shit that I think you have to deal with when you live here full time.
Okay.
Like when someone on the subway is being really weird and loud, that's just like cute and funny to me. But I feel like if I lived here, I'd be like, oh, this fucking guy, you know?
Oh, interesting.
I feel like I'm just, it's kind of, New York to me is kind of like a dream. I come here for like a week or two, a lot of weird shit happens, and then I go back to LA and I'm like, that was weird. And then I forget about it until I come back, so.
So like when a mariachi band comes on the subway and just starts playing at full blast, you're like, yeah.
I'm the person, like when those Showtime guys are like spinning or whatever, I'm like, go. I like it.
I like those guys. I am always scared I'm going to get kicked in the head.
They do get close, but
I just don't like it when they get mad if we don't applaud, because it's like they're doing a show and I love that for them. But it's also like we didn't pay for this show. This was a show that was thrust upon us. And then when we're not as receptive as they would like for us to be, they get real mad.
Well, I suppose if you guys were hosting this podcast outside and you had like a great episode, and maybe you had a crowd, you know, maybe you're doing it at a park.
That's very generous.
And then you finish the episode, right? But let's say you did.
It's just Paris Hilton, honestly.
Yeah, let's say it was Paris Hilton and like some stragglers and you finished and everyone just kind of looked at you. You wouldn't feel a little bit hurt?
Prance, we've been in this position. I feel like we were kind of doing shows in bars where people were like, please get out of here.
We did sketch comedy.
We did sketch comedy in bars.
We are Showtime.
We kind of did shows all over. We actually kind of flew to another country. And
no, tell them about the review from the older people that came to our show.
Okay, so yeah, we went and we performed the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland, our little crew in 2019.
Oh, sick, yes.
And anyways, we weren't a hit, and we were walking out, and some people who did come to our show who were a little older said, I guess that's what American comedy is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sure is. And you guys laughed? No. When you go to an open mic or kind of a show, do you kind of feel like you have to, like, give the performer an honest review, aka if like their joke's bad, I'm not laughing, or are you kind of like, I'm going to laugh to, like, encourage you even though your material is horrible?
So if it's a show, especially like if it's a show, whether or not I paid for it, free show or paid, I will typically try to be more honest about like what's good and what's not. But at open mics, I'm very supportive because LA open mics have a lot of insane guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of just crazy men at LA open mics.
Oh, well,
I
think it's like, my least favorite place to go.
It's the worst. So I laugh at everything.
Really?
I'm chuckling because I don't want to get hurt after the show.
Yeah.
You know?
No, like, I relate to that.
It's a safety thing. Like you, that joke about how you hate your mom and your wife and your kids, that was hilarious, dude. Don't hurt me. I'm just, yeah.
That is pretty much, I would say that's about 50% of the men at my open mics.
It's all the jokes.
I absolutely hate the women in their life. They're mostly recent divorcees. Who are down on their luck. That's a lot of them. But here's the rub. Do you feel like they're laughing at you? Because I feel like when I go up and I'm kind of being like, oh, boys are being a little weird right now, they're like, what the hell? Don't you talk about our gender? And they're not kind of giving me the same little smile I was giving them.
It's not reciprocated, but at the end of the day, we're there for different reasons. I'm there to work out some new material. They're there to like cope from not killing every woman they know, because it's either that or they either get those horrible jokes off or they go be violent. So it's like, it's fine.
Speaking of this sounds like conflict style. So what would you say, because you're doing a short film with a friend of the pod,
yes,
Evan Walters.
Yes, love Evan.
And now we know, we personally have dealt with Evan. He is a complete nightmare.
I'm so sorry.
How do you handle like his manic energy, especially on the set?
Well, when Evan is sort of being a little too much, I just start screaming. And I don't stop screaming until he gets quiet. And then I'm like, let's you know, walk it back. Let's calm down. Let's, you know, let's talk it maybe 50 words a minute instead of 500. And then sometimes, you know, I just kiss his forehead if he's like, you know, if he's a little too anxious about stuff, I'm like, come here. And then he smiles, and then that's what I did on Sundance Baby a lot. So
I guess outside of that, do you believe outside of a committed relationship, you should be allowed to give a forehead kiss? Because you never know what's going to happen once you give a forehead kiss.
I think it's fine to make people fall in love with you, even if you don't want them that bad.
Wait, really?
Because it's like, it's okay, what are we here for, like in terms of life, if we're not supposed to feel and do things? So like, yeah, if I give you a forehead kiss and, you know, it's just like our second time hooking up and I probably am going to ghost you, at least for those, like, I don't know, 24 hours, you felt like you were the love of my life. And that's worth something.
Wait a minute. After you hook up, do you finish with a forehead kiss? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I mean, it's not. It's, you know, it's each situation's different. You might do the forehead kiss before. You might do it after.
Yeah.
It's just when you do it, I don't think it's a problem because I think it's let's all feel emotions, you know? I've fallen in love with people who wouldn't care if I live or died. You know, it's fun. Just do your thing.
Really? I kind of am like, not till marriage, I think, for that, for me.
Really? Okay.
I think when they say, and you may now kiss, I said my forehead. That will be kind of our wedding ceremony.
Okay.
And then the kiss on the lips, that's the wedding night.
That's the wedding,
That's not for public consumption.
It's a forehead kiss to me is playing with fire. And so I understand what you're saying. We should be living life to the fullest, but sometimes I think, well, maybe I lived life too much to the fullest, so now I have to pull back.
Okay. Now, have you ever been to Sterling's Bible study in LA?
I was told about it. I was told not to go because they would convert me into a hardcore, like, Christian fundamentalist, and I'm not ready for that era in my life yet.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, so Prance and I did meet, actually, famously in the city of Los Angeles, and we met at a party, and I met you kind of in a way that was a little crazy. It was definitely like during an interesting time in my life. But basically what had happened, which I've talked about on this podcast, is that that day, Prance, I don't know if you recall, I had sent a DM and then I go to this party.
Yeah.
And I kind of decided to kind of get group opinion of people I had just met at a party to see if this DM was crazy or not.
Yes.
Because I was like, Prance, you're online. You kind of know what's going on. You know how to be cool online. I showed Prance a DM I had sent to a famous TikToker to try to collaborate on a video. Okay.
Now it's coming back to me. Yes.
Prance, I want to say this, screamed. I don't know. Basically, he was like, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. It was like I want to be friends with like a famous TikToker. And I was like,
okay, but she wasn't as famous at the time.
No, she wasn't. Yeah.
She was. But you have to remember, I had to give some context. We had been commenting on each other's videos. Both ways.
Oh, yes.
Both ways.
Oh, see, I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that, actually, Sterling. It would have still been crazy, but not as crazy. Not as crazy.
And like, it wasn't really that many comments, but like she had commented on a few of my videos like, ha ha, or whatever.
What's a few? Like one, two, or more?
It was at least one, but it could have been two.
You got to think of it like in the workforce, like when you apply for a job, sometimes you got to do a follow-up and say, hey, just wanted to see if you got my resume. So maybe do that. Just be like, hey.
Instagram, you can't even follow up anymore. So where do you think, Prance, where do you think I went wrong and how do you think I can solve?
I think it's hopeless. Just I want to put that at the top. You're not getting she who shall not be named to, that's not happening. Where you went wrong, I think, is that
signing my whole name.
If you wanted to reach out, the DM also was like a professional kind of email.
Yeah,
and it was just about being friends. It just was a little serial killery. It was a little serial killer.
Just about being friends. I was like, maybe we could collab on a video together. Or like, we also went to college together. Can I give an asterisk? We went to college together.
Does she know that?
No, I didn't know that either. But she was a grade below me.
That's not super relevant then. You were just a stranger to. Okay, I just think next time if you're gonna DM another internet famous celebrity, or internet famous person, you gotta like keep it cash.
Okay.
You know, yo, what's up? You know, fill in here. Noticed, you know, we live in the same city. Would love to chill, get a coffee or something. You know, and then you can like
would love send okay, like a kissy word emoji. Would love to chill. Coming out of my mouth or even my Instagram.
How about this? Yo, I've been thinking about you a lot and I would love to grab dinner with you in the same location and just talk and get to know you one-on-one. Yeah. That's pretty normal, right?
That's a super normal first DM. I think that's great. Yeah. Sterling, try that next time. And
I'll report back.
I think this time you'll just get blocked.
Well, Prance, have you had better luck DMing people?
I don't DM people because if I say I'm DMing someone, it's kind of horny, you know, because I'm like, I don't have enough, like,
so tell us about your last horny DM.
It was, okay, I did send one, I think, a couple weeks ago, and I think I was in response to a thirst trap.
Okay.
I was like, I think it was a girl in, like, a bikini. I hit her with my best move. I was like, fire, and then I put, like, the, like, fingers crossed emoji.
Wow.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
But
did she see it?
No, she saw it. It just didn't work.
Okay.
Well, what do you respond to that? Because you're saying you look great and fingers crossed, you're interested in me. Is that kind of it?
It's more like you look great, you look fire, and then the fingers crossed to me is like, this could be us, you know? We could be intertwined one day.
Oh. That's what fingers crossed is.
Like she could be on your back, like piggyback.
In a way, sure. Yeah. I suppose I haven't tried that yet, but like, I guess it could work.
Well, again, I think it's worth a follow-up. Just be like, hey, I'm just following up.
No, I'm not doing that.
We're saying bumping this, circling back around.
I want to bump this
circling
to the top.
Back around. I'm not sure if you caught my fire, but just wanted to resend that. I'd love a response within by end of day, you know?
So we have a game on this podcast called Heaven or Hell. And we're going to present some different scenarios to you. And you are going to decide if that's a heaven, hell, or if you're kind of in different purgatory scenario for you. Because you're kind of, I would say, very famous online and in real life, but very famous online. We have some different kind of online behaviors and scenarios to present for you today. Okay, Blair, do you want to kick us off?
Someone putting their Instagram handle on their dating profile, but their Instagram is private.
Is this happening? Have you been seeing this?
I've seen this. Yeah. You know what? You know what it is? It's hell. It is not just hell. It is like such like a misdirect. And like, because if the dating, if the Instagram is in the dating profile,
yes,
I'm going to look at it, you know, because then I know like what your vibe is. Because, you know, your dating profile is one thing. But then when it's private, I'm like, I just wasted maybe 7 seconds of my life.
Sure.
You know? And now I have to go out on a date with you to figure things out.
Oh, do you think they're kind of doing it as like a little carrot?
I mean, when it's there, I look. So
yeah.
It's hell when, if it's not there, that's fine too. Like, I'm like, okay, you know, you want just us to like sort of understand each other on a more like personal level before you share online stuff. But if you share it, and then, because now what it is I want you to follow me. And now our power dynamic is weird because I have to follow you. I'm the prize. Or at least we could follow each other at the same time, you know? Mm.
It is very odd behavior, I think. It's just like, what is your game? Because it's either like you want someone to follow you, but then you're going to have get someone random followers and you're going to be like, who the hell's this person?
Right, exactly.
My kind of favorite is if they do attach their Instagram, which again, I'm kind of like, what's going on? But maybe that's sometimes fun. I like to go through that, then try to figure out what their handle is, because sometimes you can find it.
Oh.
And then I go to that Instagram and I do a deep dive. And here's the craziest behavior. Linking an Instagram and you still have photos of a very recent ex, because I'm going to figure out that timeline.
Wow.
That's kind of interesting. I've kind of been doing that sometimes. Well, kind of as homework.
I see. This is a very personal. I've not seen someone link their Instagram then have their ex
on
be
it.
Very upfront, but I'm sorry. That you had to deal with that.
I feel like that's I've seen annoying. A wife even. Wife and kids. But yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Wow.
Well, maybe they have an open marriage and they're looking. Maybe they liked your vibe, you know, like when they see you in the bar, you know?
Yeah. Okay. But that's hell. Okay. Next one. A new crush making you a personalized Spotify playlist so you can familiarize yourself with their favorite music.
So it's heaven. It's heaven in terms of like, I think that's a very cool thing to do. And it shows that, you know, they are willing to put themselves out there, or, you know, because I think with a lot of people, music taste is a very personal and, you know, intimate thing. If their music taste sucks, though, it becomes hell very quickly.
Of course.
Because then you have to be like, oh, this fourth song by this random artist is so fire. And then you have to listen to it because they might ask you, and then you don't want to get exposed as being a liar too early in the relationship.
Yeah. What if that was the first message they sent? They were like, before we can continue this, you need to listen to at least 10 songs from my playlist, and then we can converse.
I'm unmatching. That's crazy. There's no way. Who are you? What? What? That's insane.
I went on a few dates with somebody who was obsessed with the Grateful Dead and was like a jam band head. He sent me, I think, I want to say 5 to 6 hour Spotify of Grateful Dead songs. I said, I'm not going to. And then kind of tried to quiz me. And we didn't last long, but it was.
That's insane.
He also, I want to say this, you don't believe this, younger than me, but kept using the word cats. And I'm like, and I mean cats, like, we're hanging out with these old cats tonight.
No way.
I was like,
what?
I think you're 27.
This is like a 50-year-old man.
It was a 50-year-old
not
man.
Not even like a 50 to 7-year-old man. Let's hanging out with these cats?
It could have been like one of those scenarios. You know, like, you know in movies when someone's like nervous to go on a date and they don't know how to communicate? Maybe his father was like, hey, I was good at dating back in the 1960s. I'm going to walk you through this with a headset. Maybe that was it. Maybe he was just nervous and had his dad.
Oh, you think I was online with his dad?
Yeah. His dad was just feeding him what to say. So I would say give him another shot.
Wow.
I would say don't give him another shot.
But he's close with his family and jamming. Boy, that could be fun.
Jamming could be so fun.
It could be so fun. Okay, the next one, Blair.
Another creator stitching your video and critiquing it, and that video doing better than your original video.
That sounds like my nightmare. That sounds like a kind of hell that would destroy me for weeks. So, no, I'm sure it would be fine. If it was worthy of critique, it would be critiqued.
But
so
that hasn't happened. Good to learn. That hasn't happened to you, Prance?
I've never gotten stitched with someone getting more likes. I've definitely gotten stitched with someone getting a couple thousand, and I was like, oh. So yeah, I don't know. But a stitch with more likes and more engagement would be crazy. I would hate that. Yes, hell.
An ex retroactively Venmoing you to pay for half their therapy costs since you're the reason they are in therapy.
I think that would be hilarious. And also, no, I'm not going to pay that. Yeah, that would be, I don't even know, heaven or hell. I think that would be heaven because of how funny it would be. Mm. Unless they were completely serious and they're like, no, you do have to pay for this. Then I'm blocking them on everything and yep. Come and get it. No, no, then it would be hell. That would hurt me because I feel like I have not done enough to put a woman in like half the therapy cost. So like they're talking about me for half the time.
Yeah,
maybe 10%, 10-20%. I understand. I move shiesty at times, but half.
Yeah,
you don't have any daddy issues. To there's no way.
Yeah, it's also their choice to talk about you. You know,
I'm not.
Would you try to make amends by saying, "Here, oh. I got you an edible arrangement. Does this work?"
An edible arrangement. I think they would have to go to more therapy for that.
Yeah. I think I would just be like, my bad, and also talk about me less, maybe 20%, 30%.
My friends and I have been talking about this theory, and we're like, I think at the end of a relationship, if you cause more damage than like, it's kind of like, are you leaving the person better than you found them? And if you're leaving them worse than you found them, we think you should be paying. If they have to go to therapy for that, you should pay. We're thinking that. What do you think, Blair?
Huh.
I feel like Blair and I really went to therapy. I think we deserve some compensation.
I think you're onto something here.
I know. And I say both ways. I'm not trying to be, you know, it's not like, I say either
France,
way.
Who hurt you? Who do you want to get money from?
I honestly do not. I have not been, the only times I've been hurt were just by girls who I really was into. And then, you know, they weren't as into me. But I'm pretty good at telling when a girl is going to like emotionally break me and I stay away from her. But yeah, I haven't been hurt by too many people. My parents, sure. So they got to pay for some shit. But,
okay.
But relationship wise, we're chilling.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. Okay. The next one, Blair.
A friend adding you on CoStar to see if your friendship is compatible.
Now, I was like, is this too old of a reference? Because people aren't using CoStar as much, but...
Well, it's still the most, I think, popular astrology.
Okay. App.
I mean, I still hear about it. And a friend adding me just to be like, oh, I want to see how the
like
how
a
compatible
new friend
the stars.
That's just like, hey, before we like dive into this friendship, let's just make sure we're compatible.
So I'm gonna differentiate myself from most of the straight guys out there is in that I think astrology is cool.
Oh my
like,
God.
Like, not cool.
Breaking
not
news.
Cool. Cool is not...
The girls
I just
are running.
Mean, I think I'm like, yeah, I know. Hey, that's please post this one. But no, like, it's not that I think it's cool. I just like, I think, you know, people who are into it should be allowed to be into it because we all have shit that we like hyperfixate on and we think has more meaning. Like, I mean, just like fantasy football or like sports betting, like it's all kind of, you have your thing. But if I had a new friend who like, was like, I don't want to go any further in this friendship until we figure out our compatibility, right. That would be hell. And yeah. I just couldn't be friends with like, if it's that serious, like, cause that's like me being like, oh, I can't be friends with you unless you like are a huge fan of like, you know, all about LeBron's career stats, you know, it's like, it's cool, I guess. But like, if that's what the friendship rests on, I just don't think I'm compatible. I would be compatible with that kind of person who's so into one thing that it matters in every single interaction they have. Like that'd suck.
Okay. Our last one. Your photo apps putting together a slideshow of photos of you and your ex with the title Remember When?
That is heaven. Because I think like when it comes to previous relationships, how I'm sort of viewing them more and more recently is like, unless you're in a relationship where the person like hurt you or abused you or anything like that, I think that even when something ends, and even if it ends kind of poorly, it's still, there's still some beauty in like that, those moments you shared with them. So, you know, now I'd rather they don't do it while I'm like drunk, because then I might get like too sad. But right. if it's like if I'm hanging out chilling, I'm like watching TV and I see my phone and I say, I'm like, oh yeah, remember when? And then you can kind of relive those moments. And yeah, it's bittersweet, but it's like, again, I'm all about feeling stuff. That's why I break women's hearts early on. But no, I think that's cool. I think
what's it like to be mentally healthy? I'm jealous.
You have fun. I'm mentally unhealthy in so many other ways, but I think when it comes to dating, I'm like, we could try to be mostly normal about it.
Yeah, Blair and I get a lot in my phone. That's early moments together of him and I. I go, Apple hasn't quite figured this one out. because we have to do a lot of like post pictures for our show. So some of them do kind of look like we're a couple, but it's like, not quite.
It's really pushing us together. Like the last one I got was like, just say yes already.
And I'm like, all right. That's so funny. Okay. It's like, will they or won't they?
Truly. We've come to the portion of the podcast where you may have a story of if you're in the right or the wrong, that Blair and I are etiquette experts aren't going to help you kind of decide if you exhibited good or bad behavior. So whenever you're ready, jump on in.
I've never told someone this, and I don't know if I'll get, I don't think I could get sued for this, but let's have fun with it. I'm going to change names a little bit just for safety's sake. So I had this, so in like 2021, I had this sort of like stalker / hater / reply guy. So I would post tweets a lot, right? Like that was kind of before I ever did anything comedy, before I did content. Like I would just post tweets. So I built like a pretty big following on Twitter. But every time I tweet or say something, this guy, let's call him Baz, would DM me something either extremely like homophobic or racist or just mean about my looks. And it was like this for like at least 7-8 months. But like I get DMs that are mean all the time. So I was like, whatever. But then after a while, because I would look at them. And then after a while, they started getting like, they were still mean, but they were like just vague hints of like homoeroticism, you know? Like they would be mean, but a little horny. Like not enough to be like, oh, this is like him, he wants me. But yeah, just enough to be like, this is kind of, you didn't have to say it this way, right? So one day I had enough because I was like, I think I was just in a horrible mood.
Yeah.
So I noticed that like, because I never respond to his messages, but I noticed that like the last two or three messages weren't necessarily horny, but I thought of something like, basically I photoshopped him sending me an extremely horny message that like tied in with a lot of his previous replies.
Okay.
And then I posted that and it went viral and it low key ruined his life like a little bit, because like when it went viral, a bunch of people who knew him started quote tweeting it, talking about other weird shit he had done. And then like it turned into like this firestorm, like where it was kind of like an entire day. Like it wasn't super viral, like, but it was kind of an entire day, because I was just keeping tracks of like people being like, oh yeah, Baz, he annoyed me here. Like he's creepy, he's weird, he's racist. And so like what was just kind of a one-on-one thing between him, like I got the entire internet to like gang up on him. He deleted his account. I think people like doxed him and stuff, which I'm not in support of.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I don't know if, in hindsight, I don't know if I had known it would kind of get that bad for him, I kind of would just let him keep being rude and mean. So that I was like, I guess, you know, ethically, I'm not sure where I stand, because like he started it and he like, again, it was like months. And again, the DMs were like, it wasn't anything I haven't seen before. So it wasn't like hurtful. But after a while, I was like, oh, I could make this. It really, my main goal is just to make go viral and like have something funny. Yeah. I didn't really care if he got like, because I didn't censor his name, because I was like, well, fuck you. But typically if someone like says something weird to me, I'll censor their name. But he had been DMing me weird shit for long enough. I was like, you know, hopefully one or two people, you know, sees this, but then everyone. And I just like, just, it was crazy. Like I've never seen like a real time cancellation amongst like a local community, you know? Like, yeah, I was like, it was just like all his like, I think like, high school or college? No, not high school. College friends. Mm. I didn't dox a high schooler. He was definitely in college.
he was in middle school.
No, he was definitely, I think it was like a college freshman or sophomore. And so I was like older, but I was like, dude, you can't just be this big of a dick. So like that, I like, I'm not sure if that's like where, I feel like I think it's like even, but yeah, I didn't think it would get that far, that his life would kind of just fall apart in that one day.
Can you give us an example of what the tweet that you created looked like?
Yes. So,
is it still up?
The tweet is still up. I wasn't able to find the tweet. I can probably find it after, but I did find the like last message.
Okay.
So, the message was like, let me fuck the progressive out of you. Because he was like very right wing. But again, he did not say that.
Okay.
He did not say that. I photoshopped that as the last message in a string of vaguely homoerotic mean messages about like my politics and my race. So, but the clever thing was that the part that really made it believable was that he tried to show like, oh, hey, I never sent that. Like, that's not me. Uh-huh. But the thing is, I had put all the rest of his real messages. So when you like, so it only one of them was fake. And so his screenshot looked just like mine, just without the incriminating message. And so everyone's like, and you can delete DMs on Twitter, right? So everyone's like, no, you just deleted the horny DM. You want him. You want. And so, yes, he was right. He was like, so right. He did not send that to me. He didn't. But, you know, don't start shit, won't be shit. So like, yeah. So I kind of let it get to the point where I was like, okay, now I can go in for the kill. So that's why it went viral, because it was very believable. Because it's like,
right.
It's like he was leading there, but I actually put him there and I was like, here. So yeah, he kind of got destroyed for something he didn't do. But if he had been more normal.
That is amazing.
Wait, so you said, okay, so you said in our local community, was this somebody who was like you knew of him in?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just local online. Maybe.
Yeah, well, no, it's not even, it wasn't my community. Basically, so he was just some guy who followed, and he also followed me just to hate, but he followed me, and the tweet I posted went viral. I think I like 60 to 100K likes. Wow. But someone from his community, like his college, I think he goes to school, and I actually don't know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He, like, someone from his college quote tweeted it. It was like, yo, is this so-and-so? And then people started replying, yo, I've always disliked that guy. He's so weird. And then other people started. So it was not connected to me. Basically, once people from his school and his community saw it, they were like, holy shit, like, we're on his ass. Now, if I had so many things that people could say about me, I probably wouldn't be harassing someone with a huge following, because I feel like that's just like, you know, poking the bear. But like, but yeah, so it was just, that's why I kind of felt bad, because it was like, it became very real for him.
How long ago was this?
This was about like 4 years ago, like 2020.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Oh, a classic year.
Yeah, classic. Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but his like username wasn't his name, I'm guessing. Like there wasn't like.
No. It was his full name. I have no obligation to. Here's the thing. I mean, now that I think about it, I have no obligation to like censor someone's name, like on, because once you DM someone, it's like it's all public, right? So yeah, it was his full name. That's, I think, why people found him so quickly.
Because I was like, that's hard of his. It was just like Birdie 222. Okay.
No. It was his full name. Yeah.
Full name.
Have you thought about, you know, since there's so much time has lapsed, going back and kind of seeing if you can find this guy and see what he's up to now?
No, I kind of hope the worst. I kind of wish the worst on him for sure.
Sure.
I don't think it needed to get that bad, but I don't like. Would I do it again if he kept DMing me? Sure. But I think, like, I'm sure, you know, guys like him, he'll rebound. He'll find another group of people to terrorize. It'll be fine.
After all these DMs, kind of as it was going on for months, why did you not block him? That's my question.
Two things. When you block people and you have, like, a following, like, sometimes, especially on Twitter, they'll tweet that you block them and be like, haha, I won.
Yeah.
And it's like, you were so annoying. I had to remove you from my entire online space. Like, that's not a win. But the second reason was because the DMs he sent were kind of, like, again, they were kind of homoerotic. So I kind of enjoyed seeing them. I was like, this is so funny. Like, I was like, he's so mad at me that it's, like, almost horny. And I really don't block. I kind of don't block. I get so many annoying DMs. I don't block any of them because sometimes, at some point, it might be used for, like, some comedic fodder. And I'm not going to, you know, keep that away from myself.
Damn. I'm telling you, the second me and Sterling get like the slightest negativity, we're wrecked for a week.
Really? We're not good.
Yes.
We have thin skin.
We have very thin skin.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so so that last kind of DM, the one that was kind of fake that you contrived.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Did you put out, as this was kind of like happening, did you say anything like, oh, that last one wasn't real?
No, I don't. I posted it. I didn't follow up and be. I would even follow up saying like, "Yeah, this is totally real." But no, actually, he. Oh no. What he did was, I think he posted under my tweet the reply like with the real DM, And then I just replied, like, you want me so bad. And I got like 6,000 likes to his like 12. And so it just kind of got worse for him. So yeah, I didn't say at any point, like, yes, this is completely legit. But people, one, I want to say, on the culture of Twitter, people post fake screenshots all the time. It's not my fault that he kept DMing me for, because if he had just stopped after like month one, month two, he would be fine.
Yeah.
But we were going on so many months. And I was like, you know what? I don't have any content to post today. I'm going to make you my content. And it went viral. So, you know, I got a ton of followers for it. So, you know, he should have just shut up, I guess.
Do you remember what the initial, was there like an initial tweet or something or meme or something that you posted that like he started attacking you for?
So in 2020, I posted a lot of like social justice stuff and a lot of activism and just a lot of politically minded tweets, even if they were jokes. And so I have to assume, I'm honestly going to say it was probably a Black Lives Matter tweet that set him off. If I don't remember completely, but I have to assume it was probably one of those kind of tweets.
Yeah.
And so he was always like in my replies, just bashing, like being progressive, bashing, like, you know, fighting for more rights. He's like, Black people, you know, he was like, oh, Black people commit all the crime and yet we let them have rights and stuff like that. So it was like that vein of commentary. And so, yeah. And again, I let it go for such a long time. Like, I think I didn't actually expose him till the end of 2020. So like he'd been talking shit for so long. But I think like, but again, I never responded. So I think he probably didn't think I was seeing them.
Yeah.
But I see all my DMs. I don't respond to any of them, but I read every one of them.
Is the read receipts on or are they off?
Never. Okay. Never. Never. No one will, unless I want you to know, especially if you just follow me, if I don't know you, even if I do know you, I don't have my red receipts on for anything.
Sure.
And if I get a DM from a friend that I read and that I don't want to respond to, I put them on restrict because then they don't get the red receipt anymore.
Who knew? Wow. Okay. So after that kind of, after your like little thing that's like, you want me so bad kind of reply to that, was there any other interaction after? Between either the two of you or you tweeting about the situation?
Oh, he DM'd me a couple more times. He's like, bro, take this tweet down, bro. You're lying, bro. Come on, bro. Like people. And I didn't respond to that because, again, I had never responded to him.
Yeah.
Like I had never responded to him. So it just was like he just still was talking to himself. And the only time I responded to him was like publicly, that one response.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, he kept DMing me and then I think he might have blocked me or he deactivated his account. One of the two, I stopped seeing him. But yeah, I don't know. I just think like when it comes to the internet, people don't understand like how real shit can get.
Yeah.
And if you are being a dick to someone, especially with a platform, like, and I just, if I'm having a bad day, there's so many people I could just ruin their days. Now you have to kind of do something insane, but like the stuff I have it and my followers will just, especially if you come off as shitty, they'll attack you. And many of them are unemployed, you know, shout out to unemployed people. And so they'll spend 4 hours looking up your shit. Like you will feel it.
It's
so,
the wild, wild west out there.
Yeah.
This is a good morally gray story today,
yeah,
France.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Sterling, how are you feeling?
Oh, man. I guess.
I mean, I kind of know where I'm going. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first. I'm interested to see your take.
So after hearing the story, it's making me think of, are you familiar with the genre of music called gay pop? It was created by JoJo Siwa.
I am super familiar with gay pop and JoJo Siwa, yes.
She released a song called Karma.
Yeah.
And one of the lines, if I'm quoting it correctly, is, Karma's a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I should have known better. And I don't think you were singing that. I think it was the dude on Twitter.
No.
Yeah. Because he thought he was getting away scot-free just saying all this mean stuff to you.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, he's not seeing it, so I'll just keep saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're gonna what was the saying? If you're gonna do shit, be a shit.
If you don't start, yeah, don't start shit, won't be shit.
Yeah,
you
know? And he just starts shitting. He was shitting too much. And then he got shit on. So even Taylor Swift, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's got a Karma song.
Yeah.
And these songs are just feeling so prevalent right now with the story. And I think you exhibited good behavior because you waited. You waited before you took him down.
I waited a while.
And then you're like, all right, if you're going to keep coming, well, this is what happens.
Yeah.
And you know what? And maybe I like to think there was a part of him that was like, wow, I shit a lot and I'm going to stop shitting. You know, maybe this was a growth moment for him.
Maybe this was, I like to, I'm want to agree with you.
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he grew from this.
He stopped shitting as much.
But we will never know because he's not on the internet, which I think is a good thing. So good behavior.
Yeah, good behavior. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, this is interesting. Gosh, I honestly feel really torn. I think in some ways I'm like, obviously this person sounds like a nightmare, right? I'm not saying like I condone any, I'm like take them down because like those beliefs are fucking terrible and no one should ever be like, it's just like so crazy because like, it's like I have a lot of people in my life. Okay, we all do. And it's like, I cannot imagine anyone even on their worst day, like commenting something mean or DMing. Like you have to be at such a crazy level to even do that. Like one time I got really drunk, okay? And I commented on Selena Gomez's Instagram, crazy. It was just like, gorgeous girl. And that is the craziest thing I've ever done, you know? And that was me being hilarious. Like, you're doing great. And I was like, so many years ago. But like, that's the weirdest I've ever gotten, I feel like, you know?
That is super weird. I can't see you doing that.
Gorgeous girl. Gorgeous girl is so crazy.
How did you spell girl? Was it with a U?
I don't know, but I was like, I'm really proud of you or something. I don't know. It's so crazy. I was like, go to sleep. Anyways, but that's like, anyways. So I think in some ways I'm like, is abhorrent behavior of this person. I think I am also not so familiar with like Twitter culture. I kind of am like, I look from afar, but mostly I'm so scared. So like, I think like in my head, I'm like, oh, it's like, so easy to like just block or just like kind of like, I'm a big block kind of girl. But like, I understand what you're saying with it kind of like those can cause repercussions. So I think, gosh, but it's also hard because it was the name. Like, I'm almost like, I kind of wish the name wasn't, you'd blocked it out. But then it's like, that's not really teaching a lesson. Because it is like, this is what that they were doing. So I think I'm going to go with Blair. Even though this one's a really, really hard one. Because obviously, like, it's hard because, like, probably someone in that state is probably not so mentally okay.
Understood,
and so, like, in those ways, the repercussions could be vast. But.
Yeah,
true.
But I'm hoping this was a good learning experience and we don't really know the full repercussions of what happened and that hopefully it's not Googleable and they just kind of learned from that instance and were held accountable by their peers and are stopped, are not.
What's
so
his
shitty.
Full name? I'm going to Google him. Real
quick. No. Anyways. Okay. So, Prance, you've officially been deemed good behavior.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I know that was tough, but thank you.
It was hard because it's like, obviously I'm like so on your side of like, anyone that's ever commenting anything negative is like, it's so terrible and it makes me so furious. And it's just like, I like, how dare you? And also like, we're kind of being, even though it's so stupid because like we're doing nothing, but it's like, it is vulnerable being online and kind of like trying your best, especially like you're trying to be creative or you're trying to be funny or whatever it is. And so like kind of like being attacked for that or like whatever, it's like, you're putting yourself out there. It like sucks when other people are like tearing you down for like, such innocuous things or like, obviously this was like political whatever that was like obviously wrong side history for him, but anyways, but I am so scared of like ruining someone's life, so anyway, it's kind of scary either way. But maybe he'll write a book and be like, this is my learning and I'll help people get out of that community that I was in or something, who knows.
You know what, I feel like you're gonna get a book dedication real soon.
Yeah, you create that's a book hilarious dedication. Oh my god, that's huge.
Okay. If it's written by him, it's just going to be slurs. I don't know.
Oh, no. Okay. So, Prance, since you've been deemed good behavior, we know it kind of can be a little nerve-wracking to come up with an acceptance speech on the spot for this award.
Yes. Oh.
So, we've actually written you a little acceptance speech today that we'll throw into the chat to have you read aloud.
Wow. Good behavior. Are you guys sure? It's just that I told everyone I was going to tell the craziest, juiciest, most viral story ever on this podcast. And then you guys are like, yeah, it wasn't that bad. I just think everyone's going to be disappointed. But okay. Thank you, I guess.
Wow. And that one's hard because this was actually extremely juicy. So that didn't quite match. It's, Sometimes they match the scenario, but this one, but it really was so juicy. This was a really hard one. This was a really good Morally Gray.
I've never told anyone about this saga, to be honest.
This is amazing. First well, thank you for being it. So vulnerable with us today.
And the way you handled it, I wish I would have been that smart to handle past comments like that. So I'm actually jealous.
Well, now y'all know. Sometimes you could Photoshop and lying. Okay. To take down a bad person, sometimes it's necessary.
Okay, well, Prance, thank you so much for coming on today. This was truly such a blast. I'm going to be thinking about this story for a while.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where they can follow you, find your viral tweets, and if there's any upcoming shows or anything to plug?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at BoxTop, B-O-C-X-T-O-P. I won't, you know, dox you if you follow me on Twitter. Just don't send me anything weird.
Sure.
Upcoming shows, doing like a essay, comedic essay reading show on June 8th in Silver Lake in LA, with Evan Walter, who again, as we know, friend of the pod and my mortal enemy.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm going to be in the Real Bros of Simi Valley on Roku. So tap into that one in July, whenever, July, someday.
Okay.
July. But yeah, but, and then otherwise, you know, send me a DM, a nice one. And, let's hang. Well, no, we're not going. But like, send me a DM. Send me a DM, and I'll read it. I can tell you that I will read the DMs.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye.
Do you think that was good?